The following program is brought to you in living color.
Evening, ma'am. I can buy you a drink.
Here, drink up.
Drink out the ale! These men are thirsty!
It's the Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for the Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Ha, this is going to be great.
Boy, you are some kind of freaky.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are your media resource for everything about our precious, adorable, great little grape. And it seems like the stress of the holidays is already getting to all of us, including those of us here at the Wine Crush today.
You weren't ready? You want to do the show now? Or you want to wait? You want to wait another few minutes until you calm down?
Now, see, this to me is priceless, and this you can look at this as a working establishment, working relationship. You can look at the differences between men and women, however you want to do it. I come in, I'm ready for my show. I have everything together. Kent, however, is frantic.
Well,
he's like, no, two more minutes. I've got to get this finished. I've got to get this done. I'm like, okay, it's fine. So I wander off and start doing exactly other things. The next thing I know, I hear the music queued up, and Kent is looking at me like, why are you not in your chair, and how come this is not moving forward?
I just wanted to see how spontaneous you are. I wanted to see how it would go.
You know, around here, it's just never, never a dull moment. It's exactly like Pavlov's dogs. You hear the opening music, and it does not matter what you're doing. You're going to be in the chair. Now, Kent has been known to play the opening music 3 or 4 times,
well, yes,
till he's perfectly happy to how it lines up.
Not this
but
time.
Yes, we're supposed to respond and drool accordingly. So thank you. I needed more adrenaline in my life.
It just gave you a fresh start. It's a different kind of start to the show.
Yes, there's absolutely nothing. And my apologies to all of you who are in the studio taking the tour, the ones I just plowed over because I heard the music and had to run back to the studio. But like I said, never a dull moment. I hope everyone is enjoying their auspices of the holiday season as much as I am. And I promise not to get on this rant again this year. But once again, it is upon us. I see nothing but Christmas trees. I see nothing but Christmas wreaths. I hear advertisements for Christmas wine. This is a little bit out of control. Did not last week we just talk a little bit about Thanksgiving? Did we get a preemptive strike on being ready and organized and hitting the panic button? And yet apparently we've skipped Thanksgiving and gone straight to Christmas. Outstanding. That always makes me so warm and fuzzy. So as long as we're kind of caught between holidays and mid-seasons, I figured my wine recommendations this week will once again get you through whatever you need to do for the holidays, whether it's planning your Thanksgiving, whether it's planning your Christmas parties, whether it's drinking to avoid your Thanksgiving and Christmas parties. These two wines will certainly fit the bill. The first one, I would imagine that anyone who has really followed wine or decided they wanted to be wine cult status or collectors has heard of the great vineyards of Cape Bread Cellars. Cape Bread Cellars for years and years and years were must-haves, their demands. I wish all the time that I had been in this business. I think where the phrase got coined, if I could make it in my bathtub, I would. But Cape Bread only makes a certain amount of wine. No, I can't help you. I wish I had a dollar in my lifetime for as many times as I said that. But having said that, things are opening up. Cape Bread has more vineyards coming online. And of course, all their wines are great. Their red wines are still difficult to come by. However, just about any restaurant you go to now that boasts a white tablecloth or any upscale wine shop can offer you Cape Bread Chardonnay. And I have to admit, it'd been a while since I'd sat down and sampled the wines of Cape Bread, simply because they fall under that category of don't get used to them, you can't have them. However, things have changed. I enjoyed several bottles of Cape Bread Chardonnay the other night, the 2010 vintage. Cape Bread, of course, is from Napa Valley. And what I loved about this, I understand now the popularity of Cape Bread and the fact that it manifests itself through the ages, through the decades, and through the generations. This is so clean. It has the great apple. It has the great pear. It's got the zestiness that you'd expect out of Napa. But what's so refreshing about it, it's not heavy. It's not overly oaked. It really is beautifully balanced. It does have acidity. And a lot of times you find Chardonnays coming out of Napa Valley that may lack a little bit of that acidity. But this one has it. Plus, it's creamy on the palate. It's very, very easy to sip. And unfortunately, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit I might have sipped my way through three bottles. But nevertheless, that is a testament to it within itself. Don't look at me like
that. Not, you don't want to tell people that.
Why?
Well, I know it's good, but...
How often do I advocate something that all of a sudden I drank three bottles of something? Now, granted,
we'll get letters again.
I'm so used to letters at this point, I've just given up. At least I can read them and put them together. So past
people
that.
At AA are thinking about adding a third A just for you.
Yes, I realize that, but then they'd be AAA and they'd have to insure my car. So we really aren't going to go that far. Anyway, Cape Bread 2010 Chardonnay. Please make an effort to go out and try it. It is available. It can be had, and it would make a lovely holiday. Wine to drink with your turkey, to drink with whatever you're doing on Thanksgiving. Not to mention Cape Bread is always a great holiday gift, whether it's a hostess gift or a Christmas gift. See, I'm trying to be all around and flexible over these next 7 weeks. I'm going to try and hit the high notes. And as far as joking around about having three bottles, can't come on. I remind our listeners to sip socially all the time.
Yes,
they don't have to drink the way I drink. It makes no difference one way or the other.
You're a good example to all of mankind.
Yes, for those of you who do want to complain, 877-4-CRUSH-1. As for Kent, he'll be happy to add you to the list.
I unplug the phone at night.
Oh. That explains a lot. No wonder our messages all sound a little more sober these days. I get it. So just to balance the fact that I went to a Napa Valley icon, I'm going down south. I'm going down to Argentina, because when you think about the wines of Argentina, of course, Malbec comes to mind. But when it comes down to it, the first winery that always seems to come up is Catena. And the 2008 Catena Zapata Malbec is absolutely outstanding. This is a 75,000 case production wine, so it's easily accessible. You can find it in any mega mart. You can find it in your grocery stores. But the wine is just absolutely vibrant. It's beautiful. And once again, it meets the criteria apparently we are having to adopt, that whether you're trying to get through Thanksgiving, gift giving, gift buying, Thanksgiving dinner, this is one that's going to play into everything. Whether you're doing ham, whether you're doing turkey, whether you're doing beef, this is a perfect accompaniment. It has sweet black and blue fruit, so it does mean, no, you haven't been beaten senseless, but it does have blackberry, it does have blueberry to it. But what I like about it, it has almost a violet nose. I mean violet as the flower, not necessarily as the color. So what happens is you really get all of that great aroma coming together. And of course, we've talked about the other fifth sense, kind of the imagi, the kind of the savoriness. This wine certainly does have it. So everything you could ask for in a bottle of wine is definitely there. And I harp on this a lot this time of year, because a lot of people like to go out, drink big wines. They like to show off, open these special bottles they've kept. But a lot of times these special bottles simply need to lie down and rest a little bit longer. What's great about the Catena Malbec, it's ready to go right now. It is vibrant. It is up. It is ready to take a dash down the hall, and you aren't going to feel overwhelmed by it. So it's a great all-around wine for this upcoming season. So there are your wine recommendations, the Catena Zapata Malbec from Argentina and the 2010 Cape Bread Napa Valley Chardonnay. If you can find fault with either one of those, once again, call us 877-4-CRUSH-1. I'd love to hear what you didn't like about them. Not to mention, you can always email me directly at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Now, today we do have a very special guest. For those of you who listened to the show last week, you heard me mention the fact that I referenced a blog. And in the blog, it was 5 tips for faking your way through a wine tasting. And we have actually talked Mr. Lee Klein, the author of that, to joining us today. So we're going to have a lot of fun with Lee. I'm looking forward to seeing what his impetus was to writing this, to see if it was tongue-in-cheek, to see if he's sincere about it. But really, the guy just sounds like he has a sense of humor. And right now, don't we all need a good sense of humor? I think all of us need a good laugh and need to relax. So that is our guest today. We'll have a little bit of entertainment factor there. But I do have some more entertainment factor. I think all of you know I search high and low to try and find interesting wine news. And this is one that fascinates me, because like we're talking about, we're discussing the fact that you're doing 5 tips for faking your way through a wine tasting. It seems like the crises of confidence that seems to be the topic now really has hit home with a lot of people. I know I have several friends that are finally getting comfortable with the Merlot, the Pinot Noir, Malbec, of course, Cabernet Franc. And then if we start getting into the Southern Rhone varietals, it does tend to give me that glazed over look, like, what are you talking about? Well, just when we get comfortable looking at varietal sets, when you go to your grocery store, when you go to your Mega Mart, that is usually what you find, by the way. The wines are set by varietal. And here's your quick wine education 101 for today. Varietal is just the name of the grape. Chardonnay is a varietal. Cabernet Sauvignon is a varietal. Cabernet Franc is a varietal. And so usually the grape retailers lump these all together so that you have no problem finding your Catena Malbec, for example. You can go to the Malbec section and there it is. Well, the United States has finally decided that the Alcohol and Tobacco Trade Bureau, ATTB, for those of you in the business, for the first time, they have updated the official list of grape variety names that are approved on American wines. Now, there has been an official list. We've talked ad nauseum about what's allowed on a label, how it's allowed to be designated, and it does get a little bit complicated. But now they have expanded the types of varietals that can go on the list. Now, some of these, I want to get a complete list, and I'll try and get a complete list up on the website because it's interesting. Now, obviously, Darif. Darif is a synonym for Petite Sirah. And also, for those of you who are world wine studiers, you know that there are different names for the same grapes all across the world. There are so many different names for Cabernet Franc, Tempranillo. There are so many different names for Mourvèdre and Carmenere. However, it does get a little complicated. You know, think about Syrah and Shiraz. That confuses people today. Well, they've approved Darif. Darif is a synonym for Petite Sirah. So for those of you who are going to actually try and be focused, you can go out and look for Darif and realize you're going to drink a Petite Sirah and you can impress somebody. Now, a couple more of these have me concerned because, once again, I will say I know just enough about wine to be dangerous. And I advocate this all the way along, all the way through. It does not matter whether you're 18, whether you're 80, whether you're 800. The more you learn about wine, the less you know. It's kind of the golden rule. The more you realize there are pockets of this great topic that you haven't discovered. I apparently have some discovering left to do. Because of the 87 names of grapes to be included, there is something called Crimson Cabernet. There is also a Freedom Grape. And there is also a grape called Princess. Now, personally, I do understand being specific, but I guess my question becomes, is Freedom a clone? Is it a rename of another foreign grape? How about Princess? I want to know exactly who saw a grape and named it Princess, and what was it called before we named it Princess? Because ultimately, we've named all the grapes out there. Unless we're doing some very strange hybrids, we've named them all. So here is my question to you. What do you think about the new names of grapes? How confused are you going to be when you walk down your Mega Mart and see Freedom by Lawson? Are you not going to be as confused as I am? Personally, of course, if it's going to say anything, it's going to say Lawson Princess. But that's neither here nor there. We're going to take a quick break here on The Crush. But when we return, we will have Mr. Lee Klein joining us to talk about five tips for faking your way through a wine tasting.
Check out WineCrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-695-7442. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-695-7442. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Call 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442.
If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 100,000 miles on it, your car will eventually break down and you'll need to go to your local repair shop. And we all know dealing with these guys can be very expensive. A new transmission can cost over $3,000, a new engine more than $3,500, new air conditioning can cost over $1,700, and a new water pump more than $600. You need to call the Auto Protection Network. We're like insurance to protect. protect the inside of your car. We'll save you thousands on costly repair bills. Don't let your car break down without a warranty. Protect yourself from expensive repair bills. If your car has less than 100,000 miles on it and it's less than 10 years old, call today for a free customized quote. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking.
Hmm.
You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush. And right now I have a guest I'm very, very much looking forward to talking with, Mr. Lee Klein from the Miami New Times. Lee wrote an article or a blog along the lines of 5 tips for faking your way through a wine tasting. And right now we're going to put Lee on the spot and get an idea of where that concept came from. Lee, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thanks, Laura.
I am so excited to have you on The Crush today.
Thanks.
Did you by chance ever think that your blog was going to wind up being the subject of a national radio show?
No, I didn't go so. Not my blog on wine.
Okay.
The last person, probably, I would think that.
But see, that's a good thing, and that's exactly what we're going to try and get to the heart of today. So let me start here. Lee, what's your experience with wine?
You know, by all accounts, I should be some sort of an expert. I took courses at the Culinary Institute of America. I worked as a chef for decades and drank a lot of wine. I've traveled, drank wine around the world. I've been a restaurant reviewer since the 1990s, and so I've had, you know, wine on many of those meals, and then all the wine dinners, wine tastings, seminars, festivals. I obviously have some sort of knowledge from all that, but I still tend to be quiet when I go to wine tastings.
That's not a bad thing, though, and it's not a testimony to not knowing about wine. So you're going to be my ideal victim. We're going to have fun with this, Lee.
Okay.
Without a doubt. Okay, so you have definitely, you've been there and done that. You have the pedigree. You have the background. You've definitely been immersed in the wine culture. And yet, when you go to tastings, you still feel apprehensive and you're nervous. Why is that?
Well, part of it might be that sometimes I don't really get even after all this time, the really subtle taste notes. In other words, I'll get the floral bouquet or a flavor. I won't be able to say if it's rose or begonia, or, you know, I'll taste, like a citrus fruit, not necessarily know what kind of citrus. You know what I mean? Like, I only go up to a certain level. I can obviously can say, you know, if it's a big wine, I can taste the tannins. I can, get fruit fruit bouquets, certain, you know, I can taste if it's earthy. You know, the real basic things I know. But so sometimes I'll be a little apprehensive about saying, well, I think I taste some pear in here or something.
But see, you know enough. See, you know about tannins. You know about structure. You know about acid. So if you're sitting down and you're tasting a wine and you have this guy in front of you that's saying this tastes just like gooseberry, does that not, that intimidates you instead of makes you want to make fun of him?
I would maybe a little bit of both. It does intimidate me because, you know, to tell you the truth, people do mock wine experts, but like any experts, yeah, they can be fun of, especially if they act pompous, but there is a level of expertise in anything, I think, where they're just tasting or seeing things that other people can't, as opposed, you know, people make fun as if they're just making stuff up, and I make fun in this particular column as if they're making stuff up, but in a way, you know, I've seen that, you know, really good wine palates can, you know, kind of pick out some really subtle notes.
Oh, without a doubt. There is all kind of subtlety in wine, just like there's subtlety in color. And I believe it was Master Sommelier that tried to explain this to me once when he was going through and rattled off seven things he tasted, one of which I don't think I could identify in a wine or not in a wine. And he's like, Laura, it's just like looking at a rose. Is a rose solidly red? Like, well, of course a rose is red. He's like, but isn't there some pink in there? Isn't there some white in there? Isn't there some different colors in there? I said, yes, but it's all about the shade and how things are moving. He said, wine is the same thing. It's going to change from person to person. It's going to change from moment to moment with heat to heat. And I think that's one of the best things possible. And that's one of the reasons why I love talking to you, because even with all your experience, even with all your background, don't you feel like you have something you can share the group when you're doing a tasting like that?
Occasionally, and to tell the truth, I do occasionally, you know, if I taste something that I'm, you know, I taste it, you know, I will say it. I spent many years, I think, not saying anything, but now I will make comments. So I do share things occasionally, but for the most part, you know, I really won't jump in that much, which I think is good, because I think, as I say, I think some people might actually be picking things up that I'm not necessarily picking up.
But what about, I think they say that super tasters are in the 0.01% of those of us out there.
Wow.
And so when you sit down and you taste with a group and some guy in the group is sitting there saying, I get the gardenia. I definitely taste the gooseberry. I definitely take the hazelnut in this. At some point, do you want to know if he's just talking for the sake of talking?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm just going to kind of pick that apart. Actually, I really, really loved your blog, and what we're going to do, if you don't mind, we have to take a small commercial break. When we come back, I'd love to go through point by point, talk about this, and kind of educate our listener, because I love the fact that you have the wine background. So let's explain to everybody out there that it is not a bad thing to be quiet, but on the same token, it's not the bad thing to speak up.
Okay, great.
All right, quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we will analyze the best ways for 5 tips for faking your way through wine tasting.
Z-Max Micro Lubricant, the only engine and fuel system product that makes your car or truck engine perform better. Legendary car builder Carroll Shelby is sold on Z-Max.
There's no doubt that it's the only additive that really works.
Put Z-Max in your oil and gas and reduce internal friction and harmful deposits.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, tested, trusted performance. Available at auto parts stores and at Z-Max.com.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here with breaking news. Let's go to Jim in the chopper.
Hey, Flo, looks like Progressive is offering the Snapshot discount. It's their biggest discount ever. Should be huge.
That's big, Jim. But what's with the chopper?
What do you mean? It's a chopper. Choppers are sweet.
They kind of are.
The Snapshot discount. It's new, it's a big deal, and it's finally here. Learn more at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Snapshot is not available in all states.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower and a flower? or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their roiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, we are having a lot of fun speaking with Mr. Lee Klein, who wrote a great blog, 5 Tips for Faking Your Way Through a Wine Tasting. Lee, are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
Okay, I'm going to start at the top, because this to me is always one of my fun ones. Your first recommendation for faking your way through a tasting was the start. Swirl, sniff, and agree.
That's right. Which now, goes against what you're going to think, right?
No, absolutely not. I really don't. For people who are learning, I think this is, even though this you wrote this tongue-in-cheek, I think it's one of the best things to do. Uh-huh. Of course, swirling without dumping it across your shirt, sniffing without sniffing it half up your nose, but it's neat to sit back and just see what everyone else has to say. Mm-hmm. When you go with agree, I don't disagree with that, because there is only one way you're exactly going to know what gooseberry smells or tastes like. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the keys on this is you have to trust somebody who you're sitting next to. Yes or no?
Yes, yes. Like anything else, like taking a test in school, I guess.
if you're going to cheat, make sure the person next to you has the right answers.
That's right.
Well, how can someone ascertain who in the group has sense and who doesn't? If you're walking into a tasting group, you don't know anybody there, what is your how do you scope out the person that has some sense?
Well, usually these tastings are very often, I find the person from the vineyard itself, the vintner is often there or some representative of it. They're usually a good person. Or even if the public relations person very often is well-versed on the wines, I'm not sure about the tasting of it, but usually if they're a PR person for a wine firm, they usually go to enough tastings and stuff. And also before the actual sit-down, you usually have a chance to walk around and greet people if you come on time, I guess. And sometimes just talking before the thing, you can kind of scope out who's good and who knows about stuff.
Now, see, my personal opinion on this, and this is counterintuitive to what we preach here on The Crush, because I do want people to speak up. I think it's the only way they can learn about wine. But when I say speak up, I mean ask questions. Mm-hmm. Challenge authority is kind of what I go for. Of course, the vintner is always going to know what they're talking about. But I always love finding that one person in the crowd that insists on telling everybody that they've been to the vineyard four times, that they have traveled extensively to wine country, and they have a 10,000-bottle cellar. Mm-hmm. Those to me are the ones I always want to keep a good eye on, because you know something hilarious is going to come out of their mouth before it's all said and done. Yes or no?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, that makes sense. That makes sense. Well, that really speaks to a bit of pomposity as well, or just trying to make themselves sound perhaps more knowledgeable than they even are.
Why do you think people like to do that? How come the majority of us like to sit back and not say what we know, but then there's that other part of the population that thinks everybody around them needs to know everything they know about wine?
I think that's true with all sorts of things.
No.
All sorts of subjects.
You're telling me it's not limited to the wine world? You're
going
to shatter my illusion?
But, you know, I guess it's their moment to shine in a way. It's people who invest a lot of their time in wine and stuff. And there's a certain, what's the word? Cachet or something to being knowledgeable about wine, and so I guess, you know, it's their,
it's impressive to be wine knowledgeable, huh?
Yeah, I think I think it is impressive to some people and many people, and that's probably part of the reason.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, let's move on. Number two, be a spitter, not a swallower. All right, everybody has that story where they realized the first time that they needed to spit and did it horribly. What's yours?
Mine isn't so much I spit horribly, is that I'm from Brooklyn, you know, and I got into wine tasting later on. And the first time I went to wine tasting and they took a bucket, I thought it was like, you know, something if you got sick from drinking too much wine, you could regurgitate into it. And when people started spitting, I was kind of amazed. I really had no idea that took place at a wine tasting.
These are supposed to be the couth, upper crust people. We were taught never to spit in public, and they're all carrying around these little cups and spitting freely.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I'm from Brooklyn. As I say, we spit everything in Brooklyn. You know, phlegm, gum, curses. It's a spitting capital, but I never had seen anyone spit wine out.
Yeah, I think my most traumatic experience is the very first time I went down to taste in the cellar with a winemaker. And we were going to taste through 30 different wines. And, of course, we have all these beautiful wines in front of us. And by this point, I had learned I am a small person. And as much as I have a great tolerance, I really shouldn't swallow all the time and drink as much as is in front of me. And so I'm looking around, and there is no spit cup anywhere. There's no dump bucket. There's no spittoon. There's nothing.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, people start swilling, and they're spitting into the grates on the floor. And I'm like, this is not going to go well. And, of course, it was summertime. I had these beautiful white shoes on. Needless to say, by the end of the tasting, I had definitely learned that this is something I'm going to have to practice at home. Yes.
Yeah, well, now that you remind me, yes, I did feel the effect of the alcohol the first time from not spitting, for sure.
Yeah, that's always fascinating. So as we're joking around about it, definitely, if you're going to go a tasting and you're doing more than five wines, absolutely spit your wines. Mm-hmm. It is not uncouth. There's not a bad way to do it. I've even watched master sommeliers drool on themselves trying to get this right, because usually they're trying to talk and spit at the same time, which, for the record, no one has truly mastered, so don't try that. All right, so moving on. I'm going to skip number three for the time being.
Okay.
All right, number four, use creative adjectives and metaphors when describing the taste notes. Once again, I'm going to put you on the spot. We all have that moment. We all had that one tasting we were sitting at, and you look up and think, did that man actually just reference a saddled, lathered pony? Come on,
yes,
what was yours?
Yes. Well, you know, just along those lines, it's just amazing. Metaphors that people use, and those, unlike, you know, I was just saying before that I can understand that, you know, there is an expertise involved, and when someone says it's a gooseberry, I tend to trust it's a gooseberry. The metaphors I'm more suspicious of, you know, just wild stuff, you know.
For our listeners, we will actually have the link to this blog on the Wine Crush website, but I'm gonna go ahead, and if you don't mind, I'm going to read this, because this is just absolutely fantastic. If tackling a heavy Cabernet, you may consider saying strong black currant notes, and I'm also picking up hints of leather, tobacco, and the sweaty toes of a sumo wrestler. It is hard to go wrong here, but it isn't impossible. Rule of thumb. Try not to use any words or metaphors you would consider using on your mother-in-law. In other words, never describe a wine as being vindictive or lacking a sense of humor. That made the blog for me. That is why you and I are talking today. I spit wine out of my nose when I read that. So, so that is definitely dead on. But, you know, like I was making the reference earlier, speaking about the guy who really did say saddled, lathered pony. It made me wonder what he does in his spare time that he assumes that everybody else in the room is going to even remotely get that reference.
Well, no, yeah, even know what that is, exactly.
This is where I think wine tasters and those that are running tastings tend to get a little bit far off the path.
Yes, I agree. Totally carried away.
It is ridiculous. A glass of wine is a glass of wine, and anybody can find blueberry. Anyone can find blackberry, and you're going to find tea, cedar, tobacco, and some kind of red wine that's Cabernet-based. But when you start trying to come up with terms and phrases like this, it's not to anyone's benefit. My favorite, of course, is when we start talking about Rhone wines and people talk about the creosote nose. Mm-hmm. I spend half my life trying to correct people explaining that, no, Southern Rhone does not really taste like creosote. So these are the interesting things we have to accommodate. Hey, I have actually run on a little bit long. If you don't mind, I'd love to hold you for one more break because I do want to talk about one last of your fall, trying to get through a wine tasting numbers, if that's okay with you.
We'll finish with the finish.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. When we return, we will let Lee Klein finish up explaining how to get through a finish at a wine tasting.
Visit winecrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is the Wine Crush. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, the only engine and fuel system product that makes your car or truck engine perform better. Legendary car builder Carroll Shelby is sold on Z-Max.
There's no doubt that it's the only additive that really works.
Put Z-Max in your oil and gas and reduce internal friction and harmful deposits.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, tested, trusted performance. Available at auto parts stores and at Z-Max.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-695-7442. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-695-7442. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial at Proactive, plus two free extras. Call 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here with breaking news. Let's go to Jim in the chopper.
Hey, Flo, looks like Progressive is offering the Snapshot discount. It's their biggest discount ever. Should be huge.
That's big, Jim. But what's with the chopper?
What do you mean? It's a chopper. Choppers are sweet.
They kind of are.
The Snapshot discount. It's new. It's a big deal. And it's finally here. Learn more at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Snapshot is not available in all states.
Mozarties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Taking care of business. I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush, and I am just having a ball talking with Mr. Lee Klein, who wrote the blog, Five Tips for Faking Your Way Through a Wine Tasting. Lee, are you still with us?
Still with you.
Okay, we had to get to the last one. Now, your last tip to getting through a wine tasting was to evaluate the finish. Mm-hmm. Explain to our listeners what you mean about this.
Well, you know, many listeners will know that, you know, the way the wine lingers with you can take seconds or up to a minute, or longer perhaps. And and what I know, and I think this might actually be a real tip in this article, is that the longer the finish is, very often it's a good wine if it's got a long finish. Is this true?
It is very true.
So what I know is that the tasters around the table have been rating the wine well. You can sort of guess that the finish is going to be good.
You hope so. You never know these days, especially not after this vintage.
And but of course, like anything else, you ideally should be saying what you really taste, not what you think, you know, should be said. So, you know, you should judge the finish on your own. But it, to me, it's a pretty important aspect of the wine tasting, because it's what you're left with. And
basically, a finish is a last impression. We all talk forever about first impressions, whether it's with restaurants, with food, with people, but a finish is simply the last impression a wine leaves with you. Is it lingering? Can you still taste it? Does it resonate? Did it leave a good flavor or a bad flavor in your mouth? That's all it comes down to. Mm-hmm. People can do so much describing a finish that it really wants to make me bang my head against the side of the desk, without a doubt. But was there a time in your wine career where the concept of finish actually clicked home with you? Do you have a story where that moment you realized, I get it, that's what a finish is supposed to be like?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Mine's, I'll fill in the gap, and you can be thinking about this, because I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
I was in the same situation that we've been describing throughout this whole conversation about being at a wine tasting, and I was still fairly new in this business. And I wasn't quite grasping exactly what I was supposed to be doing in a tasting. I was absorbing what everyone else said. And then all of a sudden, we got down to the very end, and I had taken the last sip of wine, and I felt it all the way down my tongue, all the way down my throat, and I felt that wonderful warmth, and I got all the fruit, and everything that everyone had been saying finally clicked. And then the most fascinating thing I found was the table was silent for about 10 to 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, that told me, that's what a good finish is. This is what it's all about. And hey, you finally just understood something that had been eluding you. So that was my moment where I actually got the finish. Any thoughts on yours?
I think you have a better moment than me. The only thing I can think of is the early, I think it was probably the first time one of the early tastings or somewhat early when I first had like these big French, like a Bordeaux tasting. And just a similar thing where all of a sudden it was almost like cognac or something where it stayed with me and I kind of picked up a whole lot of things in it, in that last flavor.
Better depending on the Bordeaux, the back of your tongue just felt like mud. That could have gone either way. You do end the whole idea of evaluating the finish with a great sentence, and I want to go ahead and do this. I can't do it probably as well as you. Would you like to paraphrase your last sentence?
Starting with if on the other hand?
Yes.
Well, if on the other hand you blurred out finish, we're finished already, it means you didn't take our advice about fitting.
Lee, your article has been absolutely spot on. I hope you don't think by any stretch I was making fun of you. I love the fact that you're being candid about this. And these are the kind of things that everybody out there needs to know. You with your wine background, the fact you've been a CIA, the fact you've been chef, you're a restaurant reviewer, and you still have those moments where you sit back and you watch because you aren't entirely certain what needs to be said. Hey, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad thing. So whether you've done this 10 years or 100 years, we're all in those same situations and everybody should be comfortable no matter what.
I'll drink to that.
All right. Well, Lee, thank you very much for being part of The Crush today. As I mentioned, the link to this will be on our website, if that's okay with you.
That's great.
Love to have our listeners become a little bit more up on what you have to say. And I know I will be watching your blog a little more carefully.
Thanks so much, Laura. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, happy to do it. Okay, I hope everybody out there enjoyed Lee as much as I did. It is so nice to have someone who's fun. Think about all the guests we've had recently. We've done a lot with winemakers. We've had a lot of people who are very well respected in the industry. We've had some new winemakers. But see, this is what's great about the blogosphere, and this is what's entertaining about finding and pulling people together on a common theme. Because ultimately, by reading Lee's blog, we did not know his background. He could have been Kent sitting in the booth who was just sincerely learning about wine and meant this sincerely, or it could be someone who'd spent ages and ages in the wine and food business and really felt the same way. This is why this is outstanding to discuss.
Now, I have a question.
Okay.
I mean, you've basically done a show with a guest here on basically teaching people how to be, in a certain sense, a wine phony. Isn't that it? I mean, why is this so pretentious? Why can't I go to a wine tasting and actually just sit there and go, hey, this is good, I like this, and I don't like that?
But you can. And that's what we're trying to drive home, and that's what we're trying to get past. And that's why, Lee, I wanted to spotlight such a great blog, because the one that we did skip, I think we skipped number 3 or number 4, at some point in the conversation slip in that yachts are just difficult to keep up with. It is supposed to be funny. It is supposed to point out the fact that wine is not supposed to be for the rich. It is not for the ultra wealthy. And unfortunately, Lee hit the nail on the head when he mentioned the fact that there is a certain cachet to having wine knowledge, because it indicates that you probably like the finer things in life. Because let's face facts, if you want to seriously start studying wine, if you want to take it to the next level, if you want to get your degrees, your sommelier, if you want to go ahead and accomplish all that, it is not an inexpensive endeavor. And so in a way, I think, just like we talk about the pomposity, just like we talk about the arrogance, it is a covert sign of being wealthy. It's a covert sign of being better than somebody else. And I am sick to death of that. And that's one of the heart and soul here at The Crush. Wine is for everybody. It shouldn't be for special occasions. It shouldn't be for those that have money. It shouldn't be for those who just feel it's something to lord over someone else. Wine, day in, day out, should be part of your lifestyle. It makes life better. There's no two ways about it.
I love his article, by the way. It's very well done.
Yes, it is. Extraordinarily well done. It's nice to know there's another person who seems to take things from my sarcastic, tactful point and can actually put it into writing. So, yes, Kent, in asking and answering your question, we have kind of taught people how to be a wine phony, but hopefully the message we've delivered is whatever you do, you don't have to be. You don't have to sit through it. You don't have to sit there and be quiet. On the flip side of it, you don't have to know everything to sit there and participate in one. There is no pre-qualifications for going into a wine tasting outside of the fact that you actually have tongues, taste buds, and can truly realize a wine how you experience it, not how anyone else does. We're going to take a quick break here on The Crush, but when we return, we will wrap this show up and preview some other great things that are coming down the pipe.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-695-7442. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-695-7442. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Call 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442.
If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 100,000 miles on it, your car will eventually break down and you'll need to go to your local repair shop. And we all know dealing with these guys can be very expensive. A new transmission can cost over $3,000, a new engine more than $3,500, new air conditioning can cost over $1,700, and a new water pump more than $600. You need to call the Auto Protection Network. We're like insurance to protect. protect the inside of your car. We'll save you thousands on costly repair bills. Don't let your car break down without a warranty. Protect yourself from expensive repair bills. If your car has less than 100,000 miles on it and it's less than 10 years old, call today for a free customized quote. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood.
Hi-hi!
Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Well, the plane touched down just about 3 o'clock, and the city's still on my mind. Bikinis and palm trees danced in my head. I was still in the baggage line.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush, and I have decided that I'm going to end the show the way that Kent opened it. So since Kent opened it by putting me on the spot, I think I shall put the spot on him. Kent, I have a question for you.
Yes, go ahead.
When you asked your question earlier, you said basically we had taught people how to be a wine phony.
That's the phrase I chose.
Yes, it is. Do you feel like you're a wine phony? Because
no.
Think about
it. No, because I'm very upfront about what I don't know.
But are you, though? I'm sure you go out in situations and people ask you if they don't know you, what do you do? You say you produce a wine show.
Sure.
They automatically, from that moment on, think that you must know something about wine. They obviously don't know the fact that the longer you sit in the booth, the more you tune me out, and you really retain maybe 2% of what happens in a show.
Well, it goes with all producers.
Yes, but they assume that you know something about wine. Have you been put in a spot where you've had to answer a question, or you can go ahead and put input in a thing, and did you feel like a phony?
And yes, I did, yes.
And did you feel like a phony?
I did feel like a phony.
Did your face turn red? Did you get embarrassed?
Yeah, because I lie poorly.
Yeah, but when it came down to it, the person you were speaking with, did they take you at face value and did they take your advice?
Well, if I have an authoritative approach to my answer, they tend to take me at my face value. Yeah.
So bottom line is that when it came down to it, you're the person who was going to give out wine advice, even though you didn't necessarily know anything about the wine.
That's correct.
So as Lee and I were discussing the fact, there's that guy, as you walk into the wine tasting, that's usually talking very loudly. He's being kind of braggadocio. He's the one that's been out to California. He's done all the trips, and he collects all these wines. We have now learned that Kent Bernhardt, indeed, is one of those.
I would never use the line, yachts are so expensive to maintain.
So to our listeners, you ever run to Kent in a party, whatever you do, don't ask him a wine question. You're going to be led down the primrose path. As always, here at The Wine Crush, we remind you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told. But most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.